Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Yeah.
That is the bone
fits right there. Good evening, Northern California. How are you doing? This is Nigel and James. It's December 7th, 2022.
It is.
I was going to say the temperature, but we have a pro here in the studio, I may just get it wrong.
Here, I'll give you
They have apps for that, you know.
They have apps for that.
All I know is...
It's a wonder you've kept your job for so long.
All I know is I have a job.
Two things. It's freaking cold. And I'm convinced on the eighth day, God created seat warmers in the car.
It's only 68 out.
I think it's less than that.
No, it's not 68.
It's okay.
To rain the rest. It's colder than 68.
Is that what it is in
That's
here?
That's what it is in here.
Well, then what's outside? Oh, 29 maybe? Is it 29?
Okay. So we have a full house. 68 in here. Nigel and James.
Hola.
Our regulars. And then our other regular now at this point is Jason from Reading Buzz. And we have Garrett. And we have Brandon with us. And we have, I would say he's probably... I don't know. I would say you'd give Jason a run for your money as far as stardom in Reading, and that we have Mike Krueger with us.
I think
the weather guy.
No disrespect, but I think Mike would still take.
He's nationally known.
I would give it to Mike.
Ooh. I mean, you're
he's on the TV.
This is not a competition.
I mean, you have a target, and you're moving in fast, right? Yeah.
So Mike Krueger, welcome.
Thank you. Yes,
Mike Krueger does an amazing robot.
Oh, you're one of those who knows.
You danced with my wife during that. My wife, I have a tape.
Is this one of those things that you did once?
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, and robots kind of the thing that I did. And it's kind of followed
great,
me. I'd
great
go to
music.
Fundraisers, and I'd raise money, and people would pay money to have me do the robot. You know,
and he had good backup music.
People would pay me money to stop.
Same.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I have a videotape of him.
But as
and
I
my
get
wife,
older, it's like I don't know if I should still be doing the robot.
Sure,
it's more like the Tin Man at that point. Gotta get the oil.
The Tin Man.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. So Jason, what's going on, man? What's going on with you?
Oh,
we've all been buzzing around like
buzzing around. I love that word, buzzing around.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so I'm trying to put together a hot wing challenge at the Wing Spot on Lake Boulevard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Garrett said he's going to join in on
it. Oh, heck yeah. I'm still upset. I'm still upset with you because you went to Burrito Bandito and you had to sign your life away.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to go and do that. I also tell you, never sign anything without your lawyer present.
I know. You know what? I wish you were there, but you were in Texas.
I was in Texas.
How
was that hot sauce?
It's called DocuSign.
Okay, so I mean,
so give us the. So, okay, we have five things going on here. So you had to sign a waiver.
I had to sign a waiver. You didn't know about this, did you, Mike?
I saw it.
Okay. Well, I was trying to get you caught up on that. It was like, literally, they had me sign it, and then I video that part, and then I actually went through the process going live and eating that the Mad Dog.
What's in it?
Oh, hotter than you know what. That's what's in it.
No, I don't know what. Tell me.
Like ghost pepper, Carolina Reaper, habanero?
Okay, so I thought it was only 357, what they call Mad Dog 357. But
yeah.
They gave me the Mad Dog Platinum Platonium.
Ooh, I like Platonium.
Six. Right? And it's, okay, so on the Schofield,
Alien
they judge.
Blood.
What's that?
Alien blood.
Devil's blood.
Satan's blood.
Anyway, so it was, I thought it was Schofield, because that's how they, you know.
They measure it.
They measure the heat. And this was 357, I thought. When I looked it up online, it was like over 2 million Schofield.
Good
so when I
Lord.
Bit into it, it's like, oh, this is way, way hotter than I've ever had. And I had to. Yeah, just there was some complications after about 3 seconds. I'm still having complications.
What
if you know
end?
What I'm saying?
I'm like, what end? Where are your complications from?
Where did the complications come from?
And where did they go?
Yeah, where did they go?
Did you flush away the complications?
I don't think he had a chance.
He doesn't have feeling in his mouth anymore.
I'm still suffering.
I've noticed a trend that, you know, people seem to want to outdo each other with these hot wings.
No.
Dude. Don't look at me, Nigel. That's
me. You know, at some point, they're just going to put a jug of gasoline.
We're going to get Mike.
You chase it with a match.
Chase with a match and just be done with it.
We're going to get Mike in it. Come on. Give us the weather while you're eating them.
I would pay good money to watch that.
Hey, that would be good.
That would be amazing.
You eat this hot sauce and then you give the weather report.
Especially during the summer.
Well, it's going to be hot.
110 degrees? I don't think so.
Okay, so Jason's obviously on a roll.
Yeah.
So tell us more about this hot wings.
Well, challenge. I'm going to line it up. It'll be happening soon. Yeah, I'm going to line it up.
It's not been posted yet? Or it has?
Well, I'm not going to post it yet. Oh. No. I mean, getting all the specifics down.
But this is beyond the rumor has it stage.
Yeah, this is beyond the rumor has it, yeah. So several people have come forward and said, yeah, let's do it, right? Some crazy local Cabeza people, you know, they're just like crazy. Eating that kind of heat. I know Garrett's going to be in there, and there's a couple chefs, local chefs, that's going to be in it too. So
props, well, I'll watch
props to you.
Yeah, so, I don't mind watching people die as long as it's not me.
Mike, can you handle hot stuff?
That's no, I cannot. And I've always been one of those people. Like, what's the point? Why? Why do you put yourself through that kind of pain? I don't get it.
I have salsa just in an old Mexican restaurant. Just
I get
dipping
mild.
Salsa.
Yeah,
I get mild. And my head still sweats. And I'm like bitching.
You're sweaty now.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sitting complaining, and my whole family's looking at me like, you're a little turd. And I'm like, I can't help it. It just like, man, it's hot.
Yeah. Well, I have the same thing with milk. But do we have a date scheduled for this hot wing contest?
I'm thinking probably right after Christmas, January.
A new you, all cleared out.
So what you're saying is you're going to be dipping into the gym business because you know.
Yeah, okay, the gym business.
So there's going to be a hot wing contest. And they can go to Reading Buzz. And
we'll be posting that really soon. Yeah, it'll be good. I'm going to get all the competitors or contestants lined up for that. It'll be good. It'll be like probably.
But do they win?
Huh?
Do they win a bottle to take
home?
You
know what? I mean, I'll just tell you this.
That's a horrible price.
I know. I knew you're going to go there, James.
Well, because I'm trying to think of people that I know because I'd love to bring up. I was going to say something. Something to the fight.
I'm just going to show up with a bucket of gasoline.
I'm going to pick somebody, pick a pony to bring into the
race. A pony. I like a pony.
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 Okay, this is going to be fun. Okay, well, any new businesses you guys hit up over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, I went last night randomly. I went over to the Thai House. Have you guys ate there yet?
No.
Used to be at the sailing boat. Mm-hmm. Went there last night, and it was just amazing. Have you ate there yet?
No, I have. I mean, I was a big sailing boat fan. I was so
George
so
and them.
Sad when George left. Yeah.
Yeah, when George left.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was like, I have to say that their food is fresh. It's like on point. It's like so good. But they just kept bringing food out, and I had to tell them,
stop.
I can only eat so much in the tank. Put so much in here.
You're not supposed to stop in Thai.
Should have called us, man.
Moi men hai, sabadi. I don't know.
Okay. See, like. I just got back from Texas, so I'm still trying to get in the loop. I was jealous of that Thai video, but you were also at the California Pita Station. Yeah. And that looked really
California
good. Talk
Pita
about
Station.
That a little bit.
California Pita Station. Mediterranean, yeah. And Brandon's on the side there. Come on, Brandon, come join the crowd.
Got that,
you two are
Pita
close.
Station.
You can get on one, Mike.
They are awesome.
Come on, boys.
They've been filling a void for us for that Greek market, and I really appreciate what they're doing.
Let's talk about it, though, when we come back from our break.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Time for our first break.
And break number one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back with Evening Northern California, Nigel and James, and a whole bunch of other people in the house here. Jason's buzzing to his own beat here. We have Garrett and Brandon. it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas Knot. Okay. And we have
everything.
We have our special guest, Mike Krueger, with us.
I am special.
Yeah.
Thank you. Special. Maybe not in this group. No,
I'm feeling special. You fit right in with this guy.
If anything, he's probably the most sane person in this room right now.
So, Mike, is how many times a day are you on TV here?
Well, basically just in the mornings.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's about it. That's all I do.
That's all I do. That's all I do. Bring
that's
them
all
back.
You, that's so, not all you do. You also have your Tesla channel.
I do. I do have that YouTube channel.
I follow you.
It's a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a huge.
It's my little side
gig.
I don't know if it's a side hustle because it's not really making me a lot of money, but it's just a side hustle. I love the car.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those things where I bought the car. It was expensive. it was definitely a stretch for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a lot of YouTube videos about Tesla. It was just a bunch of rich guys showing off their cars.
Mm-hmm. And you thought you'd be another one.
No. That's just it. I'm not a rich guy. I'm not a rich guy. I have a Tesla. And I thought, I can talk about a Tesla as
something
just
from a frugal side.
From a frugal side.
Yeah.
I own a Tesla and I'm poor.
You do not. That is a lie. You have a Honda. Don't even go there. Don't even.
I just threw that in the random. I knew you guys were going to call me on it. Okay, it's the buzz.
The buzz.
Okay. The buzz.
How many followers do you have?
40. I'm almost up to 47,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
And it's reached a point where I'm getting these
little
these
checks,
aftermarket products. They're sending me to review. And,
oh, cool.
And it's a lot. It's
what's the
fun.
Name?
Frugal Tesla guy. And there's actually some irony in there because some of the things that I do to my car are not frugal. and people give me a hard time for that. So.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, if you're in any form of in the public, you're going to get the wrath of somebody.
I don't know anything about that.
Was that it?
Yeah.
See, I'm almost at 47.
Boom. Subscribe. There you go.
Oh, I've got one. Now I'm up to 47. Yeah.
Wow. What's my prize?
There you go. So, but people know you in town as the weather guy.
Yes, that's
because you're
that's
on TV, Channel
gig.
7.
Yes. So I moved here in 99 as the weekend meteorologist, and then within 6 months I was bumped up to mornings. Within a year I became the chief. So I've been the chief meteorologist pretty much the entire time I've been here. So.
Now, did you go to school for meteorology?
I did. Okay. I actually first went for broadcast. Mm-hmm. I got my degree first in just communication.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a live news broadcast at my college, and I did a weather slot. And they said, you should do that. I'm like, okay. So then I went off to San Francisco State. And
yeah.
So it took me 7 years to get through school, but I'm not.
A doctor?
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
And I don't have the salary of a doctor.
But you have a Tesla.
But you have a Tesla.
There you go. Whoa.
Yes, yes.
You have the Model 3, right?
It's the poor man's Tesla. Yeah. Yeah.
So how did
one battery?
He got one battery. Duracell.
Leave the James.
That's funny. So what does weather actually interest you? Meteorology? I mean, are you like one of those obsessive?
Well, yeah. So before I did get into weather, I wanted to be a camera guy. I wanted to do editing and production and all that kind of stuff. And it was I found that I enjoyed doing the weather. But I also had a performance background as well. I was in theater in high school and part of college. But also, I was very good at science. I loved science. I loved earth science. So it all just kind of worked together. Some of my thespian side, my scientific side, it all just kind of blended together and made for a fun career so far.
So when did you move to Reading?
1999.
And you were born where?
I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, eh?
Oh, you're
Packers.
Some of the best times I've ever had in my life were in Wisconsin, where during the winter.
The cheese.
Well, the cheese, but the beer, and you get on the snowmobiles, and you go from bar to bar to bar in the snow. I'll bundle up, get to the next one. Do a few rounds.
Bit of Milwaukee's beast.
Yeah. I don't think it used to be totally normal back in the day, but now I think they frown upon it.
What?
Getting on your snowmobile.
I don't think you can
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Maybe if you had a silent one, like a Tesla
snowmobile.
Battery-powered one,
Tesla. All you hear is the thunder of the snow.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Mike, maybe Elon will reach out to you. And
that's not going to happen.
No. So,
never say never.
So the weather in Reading. So my opinion, when I moved here, like that's going to be like a very boring subject from about May until October where it's just 100.
Well, you know what? Used to be. Really, it did. It'd be like summer was kind of like I could just record weather in the beginning of summer, and then take the rest of the summer off, and they could play the same recording over and over again. It's going to be 105, 105, right? But now what's happening is fires. Yeah. Fires are such a big concern. I mean, when I moved here, it was in October of 99. I got here around September, October. And I remember driving in for the first time. I had my U-Haul in the back, my white cat in the passenger seat, and I'm driving on Hilltop Drive. And I'm looking over, and I can see this orange glow. That was my introduction to Reading.
Welcome to
Reading. Now, it wasn't – yeah, right. But it wasn't really after.
Get out.
I think my cat said that to me. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. But the thing is, yes – it was always kind of predictable. It was hot in the summer. It was rainy in the winter, even when I was here. But here in the last 5-10 years, it's this fire thing. It's hot in the summer, dry in the drought, and dry in the winter. And even though, yes, it's hot, it's the same thing almost every day, there's a lot to track and monitor. You've got to make sure what's going on with the winds. You know, I think about this summer. One of the reasons why we really made it pretty well without many major fires. We didn't have any wind events. Mm. You may have noticed that there's just not much in the way of wind. It was hot. It was dry.
Well, Jason did yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wind.
Broke a lot of that wind. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, did break a lot of it.
Wow. The west side of the wing stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in your world, too, it's amazing to think that, you know, because I'm a weather person. I just like it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so, interestingly enough, to think about the weather when you first got here, and I've been watching you since then as well, you know, we didn't have the advent of the phones and stuff that like we do now, but like what you used to share with us used to be really, really important. And not to knock the piss out of you, but there's been times during the summer where I look at my wife and I'm like, why is he even there? Good morning. It's going to be the same as it was yesterday. Good morning. It's like Groundhog Day for like 3 months.
Jimmy Kimmel did it. I think he made a comment about like weather people are pointless. He was saying, you know, we got to wrap. But, you know, he's in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
come on.
They have no weather at all.
Right, it's 72 degrees every day and sunny. I mean, come on.
Sunny.
But now you look at your phone and it's like incredibly detailed, the information you can get on weather.
But how accurate is it?
Well, I don't even know. I just like looking at the radar stuff where you watch the clouds or things move. And not just necessarily over Reading. I'm talking about just the apps in general, the global ones where they're showing the wind patterns.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you click, there's 500 layers of things that you can see and watch happening.
I think it's 501, just to be exact.
All right. Well,
I think James knows exactly what the temperature is in New Delhi right now.
Oh, yes. He didn't know what the temperature was here in Reading, though.
No.
So we're going to need a better app for that.
I'm like, 68 degrees outside.
68 degrees. Hey,
you can't. You can't. I can't tell the temperature because I have no sense of feeling when it comes to cold.
I will tell you about James. No matter what, he's always wearing shorts.
I mean, it is hot and it's hot. I'm cranky and sweaty. But if it's cold, nothing. I was at the ski park this weekend.
Still cranky.
It was 9 degrees, and I was outside in shorts and tennis shoes.
Which, by the way, did you guys hear the ski park's opening Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah. With the new lift.
I'm talking about a new lift here. They know everything.
Not a facelift. A new lift.
I was just there for the big winter kickoff event. It was huge. There were so many people, and the food was amazing, and the bar that they built onto the lodge and all that. It was
I'm noticing a theme here. You mentioned bars a lot.
But my thing is, I saw some of the footage and stuff. Again, I was back in Texas. How much snow did they actually get up there?
Well, when we were there, there was probably about 2.5 feet on the ground.
Yeah, so
really,
here's one thing that
and that was just from overnight.
I don't want to speak poorly of Mount Shasta's Keeper. They're awesome, but I really do wish they could do a better job keeping people informed with what's going on up there. So, because sometimes people are just blind. They're like, it snowed. How much did they get up there? And it's like, nobody knows. And then, like, I think it was a couple of days ago, they posted a picture of, you know, a tape measure up to, like, 27 inches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was great. And so people love that. People
tune in if you're a skier or a snowboarder or anything like that. They literally will go almost every hour and look at what did it do in the last hour. Did we get another 3 inches? What's happening?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't snow very often here. Even up there, right? They pray for snow a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you think back in the Ski Bowl days, right? That was a higher elevation.
Always went skiing. Always opening day was always Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's because it was a higher elevation. Yep. But I guess they had problems with avalanches. And that's not a good thing.
No.
You don't want to be skiing with an avalanche. So they had to bring it down lower, and, of course, that creates problems.
However, they have the new run, and I think it goes all the way up to 7,800 feet. So now my question is, and I don't know, if there's not enough snow on some of the lower slopes, can you jump a lift and get up to, you know, say 6,000 or 5,000 feet up there and then ski up to the new one and just have some small, shorter runs, but be up higher? That's what I'm hoping.
No, I'd wonder about the logistics of that, because if there's no snow on the ground at the lower, how do you get down there on your skis?
I mean, well, you just have to unclick and throw them on your back.
Have you looked at have you seen the map yet?
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little curious. It looks like there's no way to get to the lift unless you go uphill. Did you notice that? I don't know if you're looking.
I think yes, it does look like that.
Yeah.
But obviously that's got to be
some kind of
optical illusion.
I'm sure once you get
there. Like, because I ain't walking, not for $1,000 or $900 for a season pass.
They better carry you for that price.
I need a Sherpa that's real strong and base that I can jump on his back and carry me up.
My thing is, okay, Mike, are we going to get any snow here in Reading this year?
You know, my son asks me that every year, and he's like, my dad's the meteorologist.
You make it snow.
He should know everything.
No, he makes it rain.
I always have to explain to him, you don't know until it's knocking on your door, quite honestly.
You'll let us know by March.
I'll let you know the day it happens.
Yeah. Is there any trends? Like, it's getting a little colder this winter? Or what do you feel?
It's not. You know, and what's interesting about this drought, yes, we're excited, we're doing well. And you look at the snowpack. We're 126% of average, which sounds great. But when you look at the April 1st normal, we're at 25% of average. So we still have 75% more to go. So if the rain suddenly just stops, which it could, and it has in the past,
right.
We're going to be back to square one with no rain again and not anywhere near.
Well, hopefully the people that are doing the water management decide to hold on to it this year instead of letting it out.
According to my handy-dandy weather app, we're going to have rain all rest of the week. But anyway, now that we're getting into math, let's just take a little break, and we'll be right back with our show.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
This is it. Get it, James. Come on.
Yeah, get it. Come on. Pick it up.
You know, for somebody who was sleepy, you woke up pretty quickly. Yeah.
The music makes me funky.
Get down.
These are my jam.
We have too much fun on this show.
Good evening, no, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nigel and James.
Good tunes to come
Jason
back to.
Jason Redding Buzz, Garrett and Brandon. And we have our special guest, Mike Kruger, with us. And we were just totally getting into
weather boy.
The weather.
The weather stuff.
Weather.
The weather.
The weather.
I think there's something most people actually pay attention to, enjoy the weather or following the weather. Does that make any sense to you? Like,
what's a big thing?
Well, you know, and this is not just me, you know, being Mr. Proud Guy here, but research has shown that the number one reason why people watch the local news is for the weather.
It's true.
That's bottom line.
I totally.
That's true. Because
but you know what frustrates me is I've known that since day one of my career. We've always known. All the meteorologists all across the nation knew that. But one day, finally, and the news people would never admit it. They would never have admitted it. One day, they decided consultants were going to be a thing. So consultants came into the game, and they started doing research. And the consultants came in and said, so everyone, I want you to know, based on the research, people watch the news because of the weather. And then the news people had to finally admit it. It was the best day ever. It was the best and the worst day ever because finally they had to admit it, but then consultants did wreak havoc.
So when you walk into work, do you have that on your shirt?
I do. Said I'm the number one. I'm the one.
I'm the number one.
I am top dog.
Your weather brings all the boys to the yard.
So you've obviously seen the weather change here, right?
Yeah.
Mainly because of the fires. Was it during the car fire where we had the phenomenon called the fire tornado,
the fire-nado?
I mean,
there have been research papers and all kinds of studies done on that particular event. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is at the time, meteorologist Rob Elvington, I don't know if you remember him or not, phenomenal meteorologist. I was sad to see him go. But I remember it was kind of on my break. I was kind of taking my break from covering the weather, and he was showing the radar. Now, the radar is typically going to show you also, it can show you wind patterns, so if there's any kind of rotation. And he saw the radar, and it showed a typical tornado signature where the fire was. I remember watching that just in complete and total awe, thinking to myself, this is a new age in my description of what I do as a meteorologist from this day forward is going to change. And that's exactly what's happened. Summer is no longer what we were talking about, the time for me to just kick back, relax, and say it's going to be sunny and hot. It is all about fires, and it's something that I've had to educate myself on or edumacate on, and really learn more about fires and how they work. And it's a moment.
So here in this area, it's almost like every year we're like ready. Now we're ready for it, right? So come June. It's almost like the city is like, okay, well, when's it going to happen? When is it going to hit? Yeah. How many? And it's almost like we settled into things.
We're fine because there's nothing left to burn. Everything's burned up.
It's all gone. It's kind of like, you know, spending all this time in L.A. where it's about earthquakes, right? Okay, well, it's going to happen at some point. But if it rains, people freak out. Like five raindrops in Beverly Hills, and everybody's like,
but I mean, now even in Southern California, fires are a huge issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the whole state.
It's really bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and even go across the globe. I mean, Australia, it's a major concern and issue. And
they had that whopper of one.
It was terrible
a few years ago.
Yeah, just terrible. So it's a whole new game, whole new ball game.
It blew my mind to hear how many the prediction of how many animals were burned to death in that fire in Australia. It was like in the millions.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Yeah, if I can remember correctly, I think it put one koala species endangered. Well, there's different species. I'm not a zoologist.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah. Last 10
but
years,
you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, right? Yeah.
Big increase in fires in the last 10 years. It's kind of interesting. Like trying to figure out what that's all about. Yeah.
We're drying up. Yeah. Hey, when we do a post on fires, anything with a fire, it gets a lot of traction.
Oh, yeah.
Anything with weather, severe weather changes, whatever.
Well, we obviously mesmerized by them.
Recently, we had that big fire. Was it there yesterday where the transient camp went up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was
either this
morning or yesterday. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that was big.
Well, that's usually, you know, one of two choices that we have when fire starts here, right?
We got that big fire behind that building on Lake Boulevard there. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember that, where some of the homeless area decided to get free with their cooking skills.
Yeah. There's you a shout out, Jason.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so the weather, meteorology, that obviously leads into things like, I mean, let's say the chemtrails and all this other kind of cloud seeding. You mentioned cloud seeding and some of the other things going on.
I play the fifth on that one.
Do you follow all that?
So
I don't follow it. And here's...
How about the artificial sun in China?
I know about and there's also...
what?
The moon is fake, too. You know that.
It's hollow. It's cheap.
It's hollow, yeah.
No, but China just made the artificial sun. They actually made the sun.
No.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Artificial sun, China.
Actually, I mean, the artificial sun thing is true, but
I Google everything.
People always get like, "Oh, that seems unbelievable," but we make things when we're trying to create energy, not through nuclear, but what is it, fusion?
Fusion reaction. I saw Spider-Man 2, I know.
The temperatures that they get at when they're doing that are way surpass what the temperature is on the sun.
Oh, they just found it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, you need to do a China buzz and go over and do a shout out on the artificial
artificial sun.
Yeah, it's not in the sky yet. It's a fusion reactor.
Okay,
we have a couple fusion reactors.
Okay.
That's a pretty big one. That's the biggest one. So,
well, they're calling it the artificial sun.
For creating that level of fusion in a power plant, but that's pretty impressive. But still, it's not in the sky yet. Just
it's not in the sky
yet.
Is it going to be in the sky?
Yeah,
that's my question.
It's intense.
Well, and then what's the point? What's the whole point of making an artificial sun?
It's not. They're just trying to create energy. Same as everybody. Oh. There's a million of them going on around the world right now. They're all battling to try to find.
Well, I could say something, but I won't.
I was like, oh, watch out. Behave yourself.
There we go. Nigel. That's get back and put the ball.
It's true. They're trying everywhere.
So, Mike, when you go shopping and stuff like that out in the community, do people stop you and talk to you or point to you of that whisper?
You know, is that the TV guy? You get a little bit of everything, right? Mm-hmm. You get the people who are like, they welcome you with open arms. They're super excited. Then you've got the, like, hey, it's Mike Krueger. How you know? What's the weather or whatever? You know. and then you've got those people who, yeah, they kind of whisper to each other, and it's, you know, it's clear what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the people who kind of do the stare.
You ever look at them and go, "I'm right here."
Hey, how you doing? But yeah, then you get the people who kind of stare or just kind of, you know, look at you like. And then sometimes I like to mess with people. If they don't, they haven't figured it out, they'll say, you know, what do I recognize? I recognize you. And I go, where do you grocery shop? They go, oh, I, over at the Safeway on Cypress. Oh, I'm a checker there. I check groceries. And they go, oh, that's what it is. I go, no, I can't do this to you any longer.
I would just say, I'm a little ray of sunshine.
but Jason, you probably get the same thing, right? Wherever you go, do people recognize you as that running buzz guy?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, it's like it's getting random now. I mean, it's picking up. But I try to hide now. I mean, when I go in town, I'm now wearing my beanie and all that, you know, my shades, you know.
Going. Oh, you can't hide. Place. Trust me. You won't be able to hide.
You picked the wrong job for an introvert. Just saying.
I mean, when I went to Disneyland a few years back, I'm waiting in this, you know, five-hour line to ride whatever, and hey, it's the weather guy. I'm like, really? What, L.A.? Like, yeah, so there were some people from Reddit.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went up to did that film up there in Wairika, and people recognized me up in Wairika when we did that Santa Claus. I played Santa Claus, in Wairika.
That was a very convincing ho-ho-ho.
Well, okay.
Yeah, shout out to our friends in Wairika. Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun there. We had on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I will say you're pretty skinny Santa Claus.
No.
Oh.
You know, he moves around so much. He eats a lot of food. He eats as much food as Santa Claus. Calorie count matched.
Hey, last night I really put
too much coffee,
food
a lot of running around.
What is it, that old saying at one of those claymation movies where Mrs. Claus
eat Santa. Said, no, eat.
Nobody wants a skinny Santa.
No one wants a skinny Santa.
I'm going to start doing that in videos now. Eat, Jason. Eat.
Hey, so my sleigh broke down.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And they got me a red truck, a Dodge. Dodge red truck.
Thank you.
I was honking the horn, waving everybody. It was really fun. Yeah. It was fun.
His sled broke down. I'm sorry. That was funny. Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to Jason Stovall.
You know what? It broke down, and so I had to get a red truck.
How many reindeer horsepower was that?
I'm not saying.
Oh,
I don't think it's horsepower. It's
deer power. Yeah, what's the deer power on that?
Reindeer power.
Speaking of the reindeer, you know, the kids used to track the. Well, I think a lot of adults do too. They track Santa on the live.
Oh, the now NORAD.
Santa tracker.
Yeah.
NORAD.
NORAD. Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you know, we can't do that anymore because all the fun people in the world have tested how much. You know, gas the reindeer fart, and it's causing global warming. So they've had to take Santa out of the sky.
Rudolph put a hole in the ozone layer. He's gone.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. That's the real reason. Cloud seeding, though.
How dare you?
Yep. Got to take him down. Kill all the reindeer. Too much, much ethanol.
You know, there's global. A reindeer at Turtle Bay. You know.
Is there?
Yeah.
Right now?
No.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
So, a reindeer, me.
Well, a legitimate reindeer.
Real reindeer. Now, yeah. Not so, Rudolph, but real reindeer.
Depending on what country you're in, when you say reindeer, it depends. Some of them look like caribou. Some of them look more like a little bit like an elk. Some of them. So what kind
this
of reindeer?
It has a bit of a caribou feel to it, but it's got, it's like categorized as a reindeer.
I think it's a moose.
So I have
I think it's a moose, and they're passing it off as a reindeer.
Well, I would not say that in front of the reindeer.
Up north. We just call it a horse in other places. Anyway, this is the end of section number 3, and we'll be right back.
Let's collect ourselves.
Collection.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes.
Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hey. I guess that wing, the wing stops right with Jason.
There you go.
Nigel.
Yep.
You're a dancing queen.
Nope. I'm not. I'm many things, but that is
look at him dance.
No, that's not me.
See that girl.
Okay. Nigel and James, Northern California. Good evening. Full house here.
Yeah.
Jason, Redding, Buzz, Garrett, Brandon, and we have Mike Kruger with us, special guest. So I have a question. Maybe this is a technical weather question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's the difference between, why are they called a typhoon in Asia, you know, with that?
Hurricane.
And hurricanes over here. I always wondered that. Is that like a, is that a stupid question?
Is it like a
regional? It's not, I mean, it's not a stupid, there's, they're both meteorologically the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're
both, I just wanted to check.
But they're both the tropical storms, but they just have different names. It's just the region.
That's just kind of, you know, what is
but
it?
But they are the same thing.
Cool, they are the same
colloquial
thing, yeah.
Things or whatever. That's, is that all it is? Just a name.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Mm-hmm. You say typhoon, I say hurricane.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You say reindeer, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere.
They do rotate different, don't they?
You know, that's a good question.
They do.
I don't know if it is. Is it typhoon in the southern?
I've heard cyclone before. I'm just kind of
curious. Well, cyclone is actually a... No, an anticyclone. You got the cyclone is just basically an area of low pressure.
Oh.
And then an anticyclone
is
an area of high pressure.
So we're talking typhoons and hurricanes. Those are the big ones.
I think they do, depending on northern and southern hemisphere. They rotate in its opposite direction, just like the toilet when you flush.
Okay, so that is not – I'm going to tell you right now.
No. So badly.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Not true.
The toilet thing and – because it's too small of a scale.
Mm.
You know, the whole Coriolis effect – you have to be traveling miles before you start seeing it veering.
Damn Coriolis.
Yeah, that Coriolis. Darn that Coriolis.
That's funny.
Hopes and dreams.
Okay,
I can tell you the thing that's similar about them is they both just tear the world up. So, not so different.
Well, you know, you hear of people going to, whenever there's a hurricane announced, people go to it. It's almost like it's a tourist attraction, right? And they want to go sit on the front row. And
well, yeah, I mean, that's just plain stupidity. But I'll tell you this. What's interesting is NOAA, not from Noah's Ark, but mm-hmm. National Oceanic and American. You know, yeah. Anyways, yeah.
He was the first meteorologist.
So they actually fly into the hurricane, right?
Yeah.
And from a historical standpoint, they have never crashed.
Which is mind blowing.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, like, I would never would go on it.
I'm like,
you think the averages would be up there? That
I think
would be,
so.
You
think it's kind of like Qantas, just,
something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although, did Qantas eventually have a plane crash? I remember Qantas had this whole thing.
Clear record forever, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
You would think that the hurricane or typhoon would tear the plane apart.
So like, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's
they
crazy.
Usually fly through the wall and into the eye, and they do all the measurements in all the way in and all the way out.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you, Mike. So how has technology helped you improve the accuracy of weather? Has it played a role?
Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt. I think back to when I first started, you know, when I was learning meteorology, I was literally taking what they called Diefax charts, and they would print off of a dot matrix printer.
Oh, in the newsroom.
And they would print out.
Off the press. Yes. You pull a sheet.
Exactly.
By the time you pull the sheet, the weather
has changed. I know.
it was actually terrible. So you had all of these, and it was just all in code. You know, you had these weather stations and barometric pressure and temperature, dew point, all that stuff. And then what you had to do is you had to draw where the cold fronts are, what we call the isobars, the area of low pressure, high pressure, all of that. I remember taking my colored pencils and just doing the analysis. Nowadays, you don't do any of that. It's all 100%. I don't do any of that longhand drawing or anything like that. It's just all right there for you. So, and a lot of that information is on the weather computer that I use, and of course, a lot of other sources online. But it's definitely a whole new world, and the accuracy has gone up. You know, I was reading the meteorology books back in the day, anything past 3 days you couldn't count on.
Yeah.
Now it's anything past 5 or even 7 days.
What I've always been interested in is you guys rely on. There's only kind of like in our area two major radars, right? That are kind of swinging around each other.
Well, yeah, the closest one to us is the Beale. Near Oroville.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
So that's the closest one to us. And then you've got the one in Eureka.
Uh-huh.
There's one in Medford. There's one in Reno. That's kind of our kind of the
is the core. Investment for them to put something like that in very expensive? Because you'd think
they
you'd want
to
have
I
more concentration.
To.
So that
I've looked into getting one in, say, Red Bluff. I would love to get one in Red Bluff. But that would be multi-million dollar investment.
Like roughly price tag, what would that be? $2 million, $3 million?
It's probably in there at least $2 million, give or take.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But I think if we could get a radar in Red Bluff,
yeah.
I think that would be phenomenal because the problem with the radar down there in Beale is, think of where that radar base is, and then there's basically a line or that comes out of it. From that, it continues to go higher and higher at elevation. So by the time you get that signal over Redding, it's pretty high in elevation. So sometimes you can have rain, and it's that radar beam overshoots where the rain is.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times the radar doesn't show anything, but it's raining. And that's frustrating to me. But there's really nothing you can do about it until...
You would think if you'd had a, not major, but a good-sized airport like Reading does now that it's not a
municipal. It's getting there. It's
not a
municipal, bigger.
It's a regional.
Region. Mm-hmm.
That they would have to have one closer for...
It'd be nice, but yeah.
This, you know... I know. Downdraft stuff.
When we flew in, I flew in Sunday night. It took us three tries to get on the runway because the wind was so bad.
Oh really?
Yeah, they had to abort the landing three times. That was scary.
It is
because of a wind event.
It was a wind event.
There you go.
Windy.
Okay.
Windy.
So, Jason and Mike both. So, it's been an interesting couple of years here. We've had a lot of people move out right of Reading. Shasta County, we've also had a lot of people move in, so we have a lot of newbies, people who are new to the area. And James sees, you know, quite a few of them in the store.
We do.
If there are any newbies listening, what we do like to ask our guests is who've been here a while is, what are some of your favorite places to eat? I know it's a loaded question.
Mike doesn't eat. Look how skinny he is.
So with Jason,
I would venture to say he probably eats more than all of us put together. He's just got one of those metabolisms that we all kill for.
With the meteorologist with the metabolism.
I know.
So with Jason, it's easy because he just eats everywhere.
Yeah.
So, but Mike, do you have favorite place to eat?
This is kind of a little TMI issue, but basically. I've got to really watch what I eat in the form of, you know, cholesterol, all that good stuff. So, you know, I, up until probably my mid-40s, I could eat whatever I wanted. I wouldn't gain a pound. And then eventually I started gaining weight. And then my doctor said, your cholesterol's through the roof. You better do something about it. So I eat healthy as much as I can, but there are places in town. I particularly like Thai food. I'm actually really curious to check out
the Thai house.
The Thai house. I do like, what's this place just right down here?
Rose Garden.
No,
What? Johnny's?
No.
What's the nationality or the?
It's pretty healthy.
Fusion?
Russian noodle?
Why am I? I'm totally blank.
From the heart?
McDonald's?
From the heart.
From the heart.
From the heart.
Yeah. They've got their bowl. They've got a.
Ooh, yeah. They have a bowl that I love, a Chibo.
What kind of bowl?
It's got the ahi bowl.
Oh, okay.
The ahi bowl. They have a great tuna bowl.
But they have a Chibo that's amazing, too.
Just making sure that we're not on the 420 bowl here, James. No.
Yeah. But their ahi bowl is good, too.
Yeah. So,
sorry.
Oh, and raw. I love raw.
Yeah.
I do their, they got the pokey. They got the pokey and the sushi and very good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, they're having a big event there Saturday.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Toys, for kids, Saturday. It's going to be a big event.
Awesome.
Yeah. Toys for kids. Yeah. It's going to be a big event.
Kids or tots?
Yeah.
Toys for tots?
Toys for tots.
Okay.
Toys for kids.
Tater tots.
Tomato, toys for young humans.
for youngins.
You know, and we just recently, Channel 7, we had our,
Stuff the bus event. Yep. I do that.
We broke another record. I mean, it's just, it's amazing.
And when it comes down to this community, they give.
Oh.
I mean, Shasta County gives.
Yeah.
I love that about this area, is they really do give.
Yeah, that's something I noticed since day one.
Adopted a family, and it's fun to go out with friends. And you go out to dinner, you have a little bit to drink, and then you go to Target or wherever, and we just fill up massive amounts of carts to give to the family.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have fun doing it, right? And
yeah.
So then, yeah, it's super cool.
So what's all the toys in there?
They do the same thing here at KCNR. They also participate in the
because there's a lot of toys under the tree.
I think it has something to do with.
I took a couple already.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, is that what you're playing with over there? The train set.
Right here? Is it the Marine Corps? You can see the box for the drop-off.
Yeah.
It's the Marine Corps.
Toys for tots. So they're going to have hot cocoa in there at the cocoa at Raw and all that, and Santa Claus and... So, yeah,
I don't know. Hot Coke sounds better to me.
Yeah, hot Coke.
I don't know about that.
Coca-Cola.
You
the original. The original Coke, right?
We're getting ready to put up our snow machine at the store, so it's going to snow.
When?
Enjoy.
Is it going to be bubbles? Like,
yeah.
Hey, let me know.
It's a snow machine.
I want to get that when you turn that on. That'd be cool.
It's fun. I turned it on this morning and played with it and was like, this is a lot of fun.
It's
all by myself, running around in snow.
So maybe I could say there's snow in the forecast at Enjoy.
Enjoy. Oh, that was good.
Mice hair down.
When does this machine go in?
I have the machine. It's filled. Now I have to figure out the wiring to get it on the semi-roof so that I can control it from inside. I don't have to climb up a ladder and turn it on every time I want it to snow out in front.
That would be an occupational.
Hey, you could actually run with that and say pictures with snow right in front of your store.
Well,
right?
Put your Santa suit on.
Yeah. Huh?
Put your Santa suit on.
Well, I might.
Yeah. And I'll let you.
It's a rental.
It's a rental.
I can get a tow truck to bring your sleigh in.
Hey, you know what? I was in that Santa suit, James. I was actually sweating so bad that water was coming off of my fake white hair or whatever.
What do you mean?
Off of my head,
you've got white hair.
And it was like a mess.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we have one minute left. This has been great.
And it's all mine.
It's all mine. Scrooge.
Keep it.
All yours. So, Mike, we want to thank you for...
My pleasure.
I always like spending time with you. You're a lot of fun.
Coming
you guys are fun.
Coming into the pit.
Is that what we're calling it now?
The mosh. The mosh.
That was fun. Jason, any... quick updates of what's going on.
Yeah,
anything going on this week that
we should
know
about? Yeah,
there's
a lot of stuff. Like in Red Bluff, they're having a special event. In Red Bluff, I just want to say they're having Santa's Elves Christmas Craft and Vendor Fair in Red Bluff at the Red Bluff Community Senior Citizen, and it kicks off at 10 o'clock, and it's a big event.
Yeah, this Saturday.
It's huge. This Saturday is a big, big event. And this Saturday is Raw Toys for Tots, James.
Mm-hmm.
On that, and then also coming soon, Rain and Buzz will be out there at the Shasta Lake City when they break the ground for the veterans, new veterans 30-bed home.
Oh, wow, nice.
That's going to be awesome. So
yeah.
That's on the up and up. That's coming out. Some big updates with Movies 8 coming out, too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's coming up. Some big stuff happening there. Stay tuned for that. You heard it live right here at KC.
Now it's time to go.
Oh, it's the broadcast. Go. The broadcast.
Thank you very much, Reading and surrounding areas, and we will see you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.